Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, I want to wrap up our consideration of Malachi 1, verses 10 and 11, so that we can move on to what comes afterwards. But we have entered a study, the book of Malachi, some days ago. It is, as most of you already know, the last book in the Old Testament, both chronologically as well as positionally. Malachi is the last prophet to whom God spoke his word for the next 400 years, until the beginning of the New Testament era, until the coming of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. For more than 400 years, no prophet delivered a message from God. These are sometimes called the 400 silent years. It's that period between the Old and the New Testaments, and it is a substantial period of time in which God had nothing new, nothing more to say to his Old Testament people. He had spoken to them again and again and again and again, and they had paid him no attention, gave him little respect, gave him little honor, and God said, "That's it. That's all I'm going to say until I send the promised Messiah." And so we are working our way through this book, and there have been two complaints, two charges that God has lodged against his people through the prophet Malachi. And then there follow the statements that we have been looking at most recently in verses 10 and 11. I'll review them in a moment, and then we'll make some final applications so that we can move on to the verses that follow. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, September 26. Thank you for your financial gifts that make our radio ministry possible. Well, what do we have? We have two statements. They are not immediately connectable. They seem to be two separate statements, and yet there is a connection between them, but they pretty much stand on their own. And so we'll take them one at a time. This is by way of review. In verse 10, we have this statement, "Who is there among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands." And if you have been listening to the Beacon Broadcast previously, you know that what this is saying is, somebody, please bar the gates. Somebody, please shut the doors of the temple so that nobody can come in and offer any more sacrifices upon the altar. No more sacrifices, no more fires, no more sacrificial animals. I'm tired of it. I'm done with it. Shut the gates. Stop this corrupted worship. And the question for this particular statement is, what is better than corrupted worship? And the answer is no worship. God would rather have no worship than to have this polluted worship going on in the temple in Jerusalem. That's the statement found in verse 10. Then we move to the one in verse 11, and that the question that accompanies this statement is, who will honor God's name? And of course, the background of that is that God has just said that Israel has not honored his name. They denied the charge, but that was one of the charges. The first charge was that they did not recognize and acknowledge his love, and therefore did not return it. We sometimes call this unrequited love. It was not returned to God. God lavished his love upon Israel. Israel was very apathetic in the face of God's love and did not return God's love. And when the prophet charged them with this failure, their response was, "We don't see any evidence that you do love us." Amazing. Amazing. Amazing spiritual blindness. And so that brought the statement that God said, just for one example, compare the way that I dealt with Esau with the way I dealt with Jacob. Jacob, your father, the father of your nation, the father of the 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel, contrast the way I dealt with Jacob with the way I dealt with Esau, the father of the nation of Edom. And we won't go back through all of that again, but that is the evidence of God's love for Israel. They didn't see it. The second charge was that they offered polluted sacrifices upon God's altar. They brought animals that were blind and lame and sick, and the priest complained about having to even carry out this work of worship, this work of sacrificing the animals on the altar. They were weary of it. And yet when God charged them with polluted worship, they denied that charge as well. Where's the evidence of it? God said, just look at the animals that you're bringing. It's incredible. It's incredible. Their blindness, their dishonoring of God, how could they be so blind? But they were. And so in the face of that, these two statements. The one is, what is better than corrupted worship? And the answer is no worship at all. Stop. Stop going through the motions. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Bar the gates of the temple. And then the second question is, who will honor God's name? Because Israel certainly isn't. And the surprising answer is that the Gentiles will. God is going to go to the nations of the world, and from them he's going to call out a people who will give honor to his name. Verse 11, for from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. And this, of course, is fulfilled in the inauguration of the new covenant and the proclamation of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, every creature, as the King James Bible says, but go to all the nations, make disciples of all the nations, and among all the peoples of the world, all over the world, every tongue and tribe and nation, God is calling out people who have honored, are honoring, and will honor his name, and will do so in far greater numbers than those in the nation of Israel. Who will honor God's name? Gentiles will. All right, now, that's the quick review of those two verses, and now some applications for us today. And the question for us today is, what does it mean to honor God's name? And it means to give him reverence and respect and obedience. And we need to recognize that we are as much in danger of taking God's blessings for granted and failing to honor him as we should, as was Israel of old. We need to be careful that we don't presume upon God's grace, take his love for granted, fail to honor him as we should, fail to worship him in the way that he desires to be worshiped. Don't trivialize your relationship with God. Don't presume upon it. Don't take it for granted. We are so prone to do that. The fact of the matter is, God can raise up people to worship him apart from us. He doesn't need America. If America will not honor him, God will gather much praise, much honor from other nations of the world. God can raise up people to worship him without us. He can bypass us and go to others, even as God raised up people to worship him by bypassing Israel to a large extent. And so what we need to recognize is that God does that sort of thing, and if we don't get serious in America about obeying the God of the Bible, then God is going to pass us by and go to other places. And I have been to other places in the world where there is far greater honor, far greater respect for God, far greater obedience to His Word, far greater gratitude to God for the grace of salvation in Jesus Christ than what we see among most Americans, Christian Americans I'm talking about, those who claim to be Christians, to be God's people, but seem to take so much of God's blessing for granted and presume upon His grace and don't give Him very much honor. American Christians need to repent of our carelessness, and we need to return to the Bible and search its pages carefully to find out where we stand with God and how much we are honoring His name and how obedient we are to His Word. We need to honor God in the way that He wants to be honored, not in the way that we presume He wants to be honored. That's the problem. Just like Israel of old, they brought the worship to God that they thought was suitable without any thought or recognition that God had prescribed other plans, other requirements. God had other ways that He wanted to be worshiped than what they were doing, and they just seemed to think, well, if it pleases us, it must please God, it ought to please God. What an abominable attitude, but that's the attitude they had, and that's the attitude that so many have in America today. And we need to get an attitude check, and we need to transform our thinking, and we need to demonstrate that we understand that God is God and we are not God. God has the right to prescribe His worship. Where it's not up to us. It's not our opinion isn't what matters. And so we're facing the same questions today. What is better than corrupted worship in America today? No worship at all. That's right. Better to do none. Better to stop playing church. Better to stop going through the motions. Better to stop offering to God corrupted worship. Better to have no worship at all than to worship God in this way. Folks, Christianity should be understood as a battlefield, not a picnic, not something to make me feel good, but something to honor God. We must take God and His Word seriously. So, to answer the question for today, who will honor God's name? In Malachi's day, the answer was the Gentiles will. But as we're thinking about 21st century America, the question is who will honor God's name? And I'll give you a several-part answer to that question. Who will honor God's name? Those who have been truly saved by grace. Who will honor God's name? Those who understand their spiritual privileges in Christ. Who will honor God's name? Those who sincerely desire to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Who will honor God's name? Those who give reverential attention to His Word. Who will honor God's name? Those who examine their hearts regularly for indwelling sin and who confess their sins regularly and seek God's mercy in Christ. Who will honor God's name? Those who humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. Those are the ones who will honor God's name. And if you don't fit that description, then you need to recognize you've got a problem and you need to get alone with God and deal with it. Go to Him. Go to Christ and ask Him to give you what you need. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.